This is now my second time to this courtyard. The first time was fascinating because it was evening and it was really nice to see the place and also to see the number of people interested in Beijing. People from all over the world were here, and now we've come back in daytime to see it. But this programme that you've got with the Courtyard Institute, you're doing a whole series of talks. You mentioned these about architects coming in. What other kind of talks do you put on?
Other than the architect talks, we have talks about history. We also have talks about traditional arts. So we also have talks about some ancient Chinese classics, like the analects, the classic like poetry, things like that. Mm-hmm. And also we give children, the next generation, younger generation, opportunity to practice some simple handicrafts, mm-hmm. but in the traditional way. And we also at times celebrate some traditional festival in this traditional environment. For example, last year we had two such kind of celebrations. One during the Qiqiao Jie, which is China's Lover's Day, which is to celebrate the meeting of Niu Lang and the Zhinü. And the other one is the Middle Autumn Festival.
Do you do any walks around this area? Do you take any tours around these fabulous hutongs?
Winter may not be the ideal season to do that, although we do have some very courageous kids who sign up this kind of programs with us. The purpose is really to bring them close to our heritage, give them an opportunity and a method to observe and understand the beautiful part of the built environment. I don't blame people who don't have much sympathy or understanding about the hutongs. It was because the preservation effort was not really very much well designed in the past few decades. What they have been trying to do is simply to beautify the city. They're not really looking at the roots of all the problems from architectural side or from the social issue aspect. Mm. But during the walks, we did show the participants, either adults or children, some of the forgotten parts. I would call them pieces of the leftover parts of the ancient civilization. Mm-hmm. You find sometimes deserted piece of beautiful stone carving or in some very run-down houses, mm-hmm. on the facade, you still can see some beautiful brick carvings, although part of it are missing or broken, but you can still tell how much the owner loved this house in the past, mm-hmm. and how much they were proud of their family. Mm. By demonstrating, by showing, using this kind of elaborate, beautiful parts, architectural parts, to show their family history.
It's really good to see this, because I keep telling people, Matthew, that Beijing is one of the most unique examples of historic urban planning. The way that this city was laid out, literally all around one man, the emperor. And it is an amazing story going back thousands of years. And I think it's very important that people should realize the importance of what Lao Beijing stands for. So it's great you're doing this, but how do people find out about what you're doing with the Institute?
We have a website. We also have a WeChat public account. So people can look for us on our website, which is courtyardinstitute.com. And we have the WeChat account, which is the pinyin spelling for Si He Shu Yuan. So they can all find us. And we have regular programs. We also have some, occasionally sometimes we have very interesting speakers passing through the city. Mm-hmm. For example, a very famous National Geographic photographer coming from the U.S. Mm-hmm. He's coming to China for a shooting mission, but I used to be his fixer, so we became very good friends afterwards. So I'm going to invite him to come here to talk about one of his trips, which is the trip along the southwest Tian Horse route. And that will be fairly interesting, I think.
I think we're going to have a very good relationship, actually, Matthew, because all the things you do, I'm really fascinated with this, because it's got me interested again in Beijing. So often I'm seeing the modern city, and suddenly I come back here, like, wow, this is the Beijing that I grew up in. It's great that you're having this. But you mentioned museum and Shajia Hutong. What was this museum you've created?
As of December last year, I was working full-time for the Prince's Charities Foundation China and a charity founded by the Prince of Wales of UK. Uh-huh. And as part of my duty is to supervise the construction of a modest Hutong project. And later that project turned into the Shijia Hutong Museum.
Whereabouts is that?
It's, of course, on Shijia Hutong. And it's not far from the Regent Hotel north of Jinbaojie. So it's very, very much in the heart of the old town.
You're mentioning the Regent Hotel. That's just taken me back, a wee back to 2000. I used to walk along Jinbaojie when it was still the old street, Narrow Hutong. It used to go through all that area, come out near the International Hotel. And I used to find that whole area absolutely amazing to walk through.
Those Hutong from Dongdan up north until the Yonghegong area is one of the most ancient Hutong neighborhoods. And the history of these Hutong neighborhoods can date back to the Yuan Dynasty about 700 years ago. And the width of the Hutong and also the length of the Hutong are pretty much the same. Like it was 700 years ago, according to many architectural historians. So that kind of Hutong represent a very interesting side of the Hutong, because we have many other Hutongs are not well designed, later became just came into being because later in the Republican period, people start to build more houses in the empty parts of old Beijing. Mm-hmm. But the Hutong in that area has been planned and built from the start of the Yuan Dynasty.